Hi, I'm Caroline, a yoga teacher with a special interest in menopause based in Edinburgh.
And hi, I'm Dr. Claire, a GP with a special interest in menopause based in North London.
Together we are the Menopause Sisters and we are here to guide and support you through your menopause journey.
So happy new year, Caroline.
Happy new year. Good to see you after all the festivities. We've not seen each other or really spoken to each other, have we, since new year? It's currently Monday the 3rd of January as we record this episode.
Yeah, and we're both still recovering from lots of busy festive times. So typically this time of year, we think about New Year's resolutions, don't we? We think about changes and goals for the coming year. Have you got any? Have you made any? Do you make any?
No, I don't make resolutions because I feel like just setting yourself up to fall, actually. And I was having that discussion on New Year's Day with a friend who was not drinking for January. And again, never have done that. I've got a January birthday, so not that I drink a lot, but I would like to think I might have a glass of wine on my birthday. So no, I have intentions more, which is obviously slightly more in line with yoga. We call them sankalpa. You make an intention for your practice. And so, yeah, I try to encourage people, friends, participants of my classes to make intentions. So it's the possibility of veering off path. You know, it's not one straight line, one goal, one aim. It's just an intention to perhaps, for me, eat a little bit less chocolate would be good. But it's not set in stone. So it doesn't, you know, it doesn't really matter if you go off path because often life takes you in different directions. How about you?
Yeah, equally. I have long since realised that I never stick to any of my New Year's resolutions. So I have decided, again, this year, it hadn't really come across on my radar to do them. So more of kind of goals and little changes and little life hacks, perhaps, maybe just doing one or two things or trying to be a bit more mindful of my eating, trying to eat less sugar. I've got a bit of a sweet tooth. So whilst I eat really well, I also eat a lot of the wrong stuff too. So that's my kind of, call it a resolution if you like, but I just attempting to reduce the amount of sugar that I eat.
I'm going to say we can blame my mother for that, actually, because she's got a sweet tooth.
She has, yeah.
And we both do as well. So maybe it's just the genes, I don't know.
Yeah, possibly. But yeah. no kind of resolutions, but intentions, as you say. I like that phrase, intentions rather than resolutions.
So we're really excited to have Noelle Harrison with us today. I met Noelle on a yoga course, a menopause yoga course with Petra Coveney, and she is an Irish author who's been writing novels and plays for nearly 30 years. And she's written 12 novels, 5 plays, and has also quite recently set up Rest and Rise, which we'll talk about a little bit later. Welcome, Noelle.
Thank you so much. Very glad to be here.
Now, Noelle is a journaling expert as well as a novelist. And I think maybe we should just begin, Noelle, with explaining what journaling is, because actually many people just maybe haven't come across it or experienced it in any form.
Yeah, I mean, it's quite a big thing now, journaling. It's become very, very popular as a means of, I think, self-care actually is the strongest way I'd describe it, a kind of tool for self-care. But I mean, I've always journaled. You could say I always kept a diary when I was younger. And then when I used to travel, I would always journal about my experiences. And actually, I would infuse a lot of my journaling reflections and experiences in my novels. So it's great fodder as a novelist. But in terms of what journaling is and how it can help you, it's really about meeting your mind, is the best way, or dropping into the present moment. I like to describe my journal as a room of my own. So I think it can be a really useful tool for those of us who maybe have very busy lives with lots of people making demands on us that we want, demands we might want, but your journal is time for you, time and space for you. And it's just a place where you can write whatever you want, express any feelings or emotions or process things going on in your life, because it's your private space where no one's supposed to read your journal apart from you.
And it doesn't have to take the form of a sort of maybe describe as a classic diary. Sort of, I'm thinking back to teenage years when I, you know, kept a diary. It was almost a list of what I'd done, you know, who I'd been where with, which boy I'd snogged, you know, that kind of scenario. It can take really quite a lot of different forms, can't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And I would suggest if you've never journaled before, it can help to kind of start that way with the lists and what's happening, and then just see how it changes. And you don't have to journal every day, and you don't have to write to journal. You can sketch, you can do pictures, you can do collage, you can voice record. Journaling can actually take many different forms. As I said before, it's kind of like creating a space for yourself to express and kind of heal yourself whichever way you wish, or become more aware of things in your life. So sometimes that can take the form of free writing, of just like, you know, letting it all out, of kind of word vomit on the page or word purge, or else it can take the form of actually a more structured way of journaling, maybe playing with individual words or images. And just seeing how that makes you feel. So it can take any form you want, really.
And we were just talking about New Year's resolutions, Claire, weren't we, and intention setting. And actually, it's just reminded of, we did a workshop together, actually, this sort of this time last year, didn't we, Noel, the kind of intention setting. And how would you go about journaling for an intention or with an intention, or to sort of think about what your intention might be? We were talking about intentions rather than use resolutions, because it just gives you that permission to veer off path a little bit more.
Yes, I don't really like the concept of New Year's resolutions, because they always sound a bit judgmental, don't they? Yeah. It's like a judgment on yourself, whereas intention setting is very, very different. And I think, I think intention setting is connected into actually thinking about purpose, which can sound quite a heavy concept. But really what purpose is actually being confident in what brings you joy in your life, being confident about what you love, what you're passionate about, and exploring that, which you can do in a journal. And as you explore this, asking yourself the question, well, why? And that brings you that sense of purpose, and that brings you the intentions you might want to set. I think there's nothing better than that feeling of feeling that you really kind of are in your authentic self, which I know it sounds a little bit I hope that doesn't sound pretentious, but it's quite simple, really. It's just working out what you love and a way of doing that in your life. And there should be a way for everyone to do what they love.
Yeah, and I think it sounds like a really lovely concept to be able to kind of write down the things that bring you joy, or at least try and work that out within a journal, however, whatever your means are. Because I guess also what it means is that you by default then perhaps uncover what you don't like. And I guess that's equally as important, isn't it, to have that almost yin and yang, just sort of what am I getting joy at, but particularly what am I not getting joy
at?
Yeah,
absolutely. It's a really great way of working that out, you know. And the other thing I find very helpful with intention setting, because I love making goals for myself, things I want to achieve. But I always ask myself, I kind of ask myself, well, this particular achievement, how, you know, what is the feeling I want to attach to that? And so if you work on how you want to feel, let's say you want to feel a sense of community, or you want to feel connected to your, you could say, your goddess energy or your power as a woman or as a man or whatever, you know, you want to feel that rootedness maybe, or you want to feel secure and supported, or you want to feel free and liberated. So we all want different feelings in our lives, and this can help us work out our intentions as well and our goals.
It's interesting you were just talking there about, Claire, about, you know, what we don't want in our lives and what doesn't bring us happiness, because actually often women do reach perimenopause and menopause in kind of midlife, not always but often, and at that point there can be a sense sometimes of a loss of self, you know, as things begin to change. Sometimes they've been busy with a career or family or elderly parents, whatever is in their life at the time, and so there's that sense of maybe not making time for themselves, and actually it's almost like an opportunity, as you said, Noel, to find a room for, you know, your own room, your own space, but also to rediscover yourself and perhaps what you would like to rediscover or explore.
Absolutely. I think, I mean, journaling is important whoever you are at any time of your life. But I think it is incredibly powerful if you're experiencing perimenopause, menopause, and postmenopause at any of those stages. It's such a powerful tool to help you get through that process. It can't be underestimated because there's so many things going on. And many different experiences for different women going through these transitions. For some, they might suddenly find themselves in a life they don't really want to be in, but they don't really know how to get out of that edifice they've created. It's extremely frightening. And so journaling can help you little step by step, maybe find a pathway through. For others, it's more about working out how to readjust relationships, how to process the fact that people aren't responding to you in the same way. And it really is quite shocking, actually, how you can suddenly become quite invisible in middle age. Just like, and it's, as we're talking about writing and journaling, if you look at novels and books and stories and films, there's very, very few with women in their middle age as the protagonists. And if they are, they're usually a baddie or a witchy character, or else they're kind of dowdy or a jokey character. I don't know why I'm thinking of the recent James Bond film, but when I went to see the recent James Bond film with my son in the cinema, and we were like, you know, we enjoyed it, but I came out and I said, well, do you know what, I'm really sad that there were so many great characters in that film, and there was older men, there was middle-aged men, there was young men, there was beautiful young women, there wasn't one middle-aged woman in it.
Yeah.
Why not? Like, most of the people going to see that film is probably middle-aged women, you know, and it's the same with novels. Mm. You know, it's just, we forget about the middle-aged woman's story. Mm. She's very much missing culturally. So even though I'm talking about the process of journaling, it's about this impacts us on a very subliminal level. We don't see ourselves. We don't see ourselves in media. And so this makes us feel we kind of should hide our light. And actually on the other side, I feel for a lot of us, and particularly as you get through menopause and come to postmenopause, because I'm in postmenopause, you actually get to a stage where you go, well, no, actually, you will listen to me, you know, kind of thing. And so you kind of begin to not give a shit. And of course, I mean, if you look at the history of witch trials, I know I'm going off tangent here, but if you look at the history of witch trials in Scotland in particular, most of those executed were post, post childbearing years women, because they were mouthy or difficult. Or
we find our inner strength, don't we? We come out the other side. Yes. And we find our inner strength or our inner voice often as well. And it's interesting. Yeah. What you're saying about just the Bond movie and generally being invisible, you know, women of midlife being invisible, because actually, as you say, they're invisible, whether it's a film, whether it's media, whether it's presenters, whether it's authors, whatever it might be. And actually, if you can't see yourself reflected outside of your own world, it can be really difficult if you're not very happy, or if you're, you know, in a challenging relationship, or you're in a challenging time in your life, to find, I guess, inspiration or a positive role model to be able to go, actually, that's what I would like to be doing, or that's who I would like to be.
Yeah.
Or that's, you know, all of those things. So as you say, you know, that reflective journaling is an opportunity to maybe dive a little bit deeper for when you are ready, or take that
totally.
Journey
yeah. to reclaim your voice. Yeah.
Yeah. I think too often, you know, I think perimenopausally, when things suddenly change so drastically and you can have such severe symptoms of anxiety and brain fog and particularly loss of confidence, you know, those psychological symptoms, which, you know, you can go from being super confident and at the top of your game to just not knowing what you're looking at on a computer screen, you know, and that loss of confidence, if it's not recognized, obviously you can allow yourself to disappear a little bit. You can allow yourself to give up. You can allow yourself to change career tack. You can, you know, many women stop driving because they're scared of motorways and things. So, you know, the impact on mental health is significant. So I guess from a GP point of view, actually, if you can document whatever it is, your emotions, your feelings, your intentions, actually, I think that can be really beneficial, because you don't necessarily need to share that with anyone. You're sharing it with yourself, but you're recognizing it. And I think recognizing those emotions is so important perimenopausally, because actually, if you can then look at it and go, actually, what is going on? This is not how I used to be. What's changing? How can I make this better? I think that can be a really useful journey to go on.
And I think also in any stage of a woman's life, she's kind of fitting in the patriarchal constructs. I mean, we've had, you know, the way that mothers have been treated in the past in the workplace. And I mean, things are changing, but very slowly. But it's kind of like, you know, now we're looking at how women with menopause are treated in the very patriarchal constructs of society. And so when you journal, there's something you can tap into there that is the power of the feminine. And I'm not talking about man, woman, I'm talking about feminine energy that men can have as well, you know, that whatever gender you are. And it's about this creative, nurturing energy that you can tap into when you journal, that you can enjoy that pleasure of creativity on the pages of your journal, the freedom that this isn't to do with an assignment or has to make sense or has to fit into any box. This can just be whatever you want it to be, you know?
You know, I just love that idea of, you know, because all too often as a medic, you're very kind of, you know, it's straight, less so these days, but it's got to be straight down the line. It's this way or it's, and it's no other way. You can't kind of vary from that perpendicular line because it's just, that's what it is. But to not have, you know, there's not a way to do it. There's not a right way. There's not a wrong way. It's just what comes into your head at the time, what you're thinking, what you're feeling is a really lovely conceptual way, I think, to think about journaling, because it's a very new idea to me. And I love the fact that it can be writing or it can be drawing or sketching or it can be imagery or just collage. I think that's, you know, using for some of us, you know, using our hands, just making something can is just
absolutely
powerful, isn't it, as writing.
Yeah, no, the creative energy. And I often, because writing is my job, when I journal I often draw pictures.
Okay.
Because that's my free expression. Whereas I tend to, when I'm writing, I do tend to start creating characters and storylines. I'm like, stop journal. Like so for me, I do enjoy making pictures. And that's why it can be anything. I do a class called Write from the Heart on Saturday mornings. And I guess it's a creative practice, but basically you can do whatever you want. So it kind of begins with a guided meditation and breath work. And then people do whatever they want. They can journal, or some people paint. Or I had one girl came 1 week and she made a skirt in 45 minutes. Like, you can do whatever you want. That's your journal process. That's your creative outlet process. And a lot of people think they're not creative. Well, here's the great secret. We are all creative, like all of us.
And I had a really interesting conversation. Again, this is going to be slightly off tangent, but I had an interesting conversation with an art teacher at secondary school. And I was explaining how, you know, the online booking system for parent teacher consultations was quite complicated for my oldest son. And I'd gone online and I'd had a look at who was still available to book in. It was one of those systems where if you weren't there on the second, you know, you lost lots of slots. And it was absolutely fascinating because all the maths, the science, the geography, history had gone. Loads of space to book in to see the art teacher, to book in to see the home economics teacher, the CDT teacher. But those were the people that I wanted to see, because I thought, for me, that's obviously, I'm from a creative side, a creative background. You need a creative thinker for the world to go around. So I'd had this amazing conversation with an art teacher that I bumped into recently, and I was explaining this story, and she said, yes, this is the biggest kind of disbelief or misunderstanding, that actually we all have creativity in us, and actually it's trying to tap into that, because everything needs creativity, you know, from businesses to art schools. It's not just about art and graphic design and all the kind of classic subjects that you might then think of as creative. And it was a fascinating combination, you know, conversation. Tapping into our creativity will help us in our everyday lives and in our careers, if that's where we're at.
Absolutely. It's about resourcefulness, you know, and imagination, and that can be applied to whatever your chosen path is in life. And yeah, I think it's really sad the way the sciences and the arts are split up in schools, and you're kind of pushed along one path. We're going off tangent here completely.
That's a perfect moment. Now we'll take a break there and we'll listen to a message from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio,
the station that makes you feel good.
Apples and pears, beef and skittles, cider with Rosie, common or garden. Anne and Deck, Fish and Chips, Mum and Dad.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better. Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com. Strawberries and cream.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back to UK Health Radio. You're listening to the Menopause Sisters, and today we have Noelle Harrison, a novelist and yoga teacher, which we haven't actually tapped into there, actually, Noelle, have we? And that's obviously how we met, and you've set up Rest and Rise. And you do some meditative and, is it restorative yoga around journaling to help people tap into that space and that time?
Yeah, I set up Rest and Rise with a dear friend of mine who's a very experienced yoga teacher, Lizzie McGee. And we had a very clear idea about what we wanted to do. It's an online platform, but we wanted to create accessible, really short morning practices that put forward this idea of you don't have to rush in the morning. You can arise a little bit more mindfully with presence, a little bit more gently with care for yourself, and create a little kind of morning ritual for yourself that's easy to slot into your day. So we share the platform and we offer different things. So Lizzie would be offering the yin yoga and the gentle flow, and I offer meditation and journaling and morning pages and right from the heart that I was telling you about. So the way I work with to help people to kind of tap into journaling is through pranayama and visualized meditation, and I also use mudras or hand yoga. And the reason I use all these tools is to really help people kind of drop into that present moment, to open themselves up to their imaginations. And so when I guide people through these meditation journeys, people go to different places. And it was a particularly powerful nurturing tool during lockdown, because we couldn't go anywhere. But in the meditations, you could go places, you could go into nature, wherever. Sometimes it's more guided, sometimes it's more open, but I would usually take people somewhere in nature with a particular theme. So for instance, this theme, we're actually working with purpose. And from that point then, depending on the practice, I might offer some journaling prompts, which people can choose to use or not, or we might go into free writing, which is when you just let it flow. Yes, so that's what we do. And actually, we have a free trial month this month in January. So if anyone would like to try that, and we have a self-care commitment, but I don't like the word challenge, calendar, I guess, where we're offering people, if they do 20 practices this month, they get I've done a series of journaling for self-care box set videos that people will get for free if they make the commitment to care for themselves this month. So that's what Rest and Rise is. Yeah,
brilliant. Which is just so important at this point in your lives, wherever you might be on your menopause journey. And it's restandrise.co.uk, isn't it? And
that's it, yes.
So you can log in there and get a free trial and give it a go. And actually, if you haven't tried journaling before, I can't recommend Noelle more, because actually, you know, journal is something I have done and sort of have done off and on for years, stemming from my kind of teenage diaries. But I'm not probably, it's not something I think I do every day, but I've really, really enjoyed working with Noelle and doing workshops with you and being guided by you, Noelle. And you've mentioned the free writing, and we've talked about reflective journaling. And we've obviously spoken about sort of affirmations and intention setting. Something that I've experienced with you is this kind of scripting, which I really, really enjoyed. And I wondered if you could tell us a little bit more about how that works, scripting journaling.
Yeah, I love scripting. So I came across this a while ago, and it's quite a popular form of journaling. I don't know who actually, it's, I didn't invent it, so I don't know who invented it, but I absolutely love it. So it's a, I guess it's a manifestation technique. So it's about putting yourself in a really space where you feel abundant, where you feel affirmed in your intentions. And it's quite a simple idea, but the reason I love it so much is it kind of brings in a little bit of storytelling. So what scripting is basically you begin writing the story of your life where your dream or your goal has come true. But you don't just write this day, this happened to me. You write in great detail from the moment you wake up of this life where your dream has happened, and you describe absolutely everything. So let's say you're waking up. Well, where are you waking up? What are you wearing? What's your dressing gown like? What are you eating for breakfast? What does your room look like? Where do you live? Every little detail. And so as you write this scripting, you find yourself bringing in things in your life now, actually, that are very, or things that are very easy to attain. And so it makes you feel much closer maybe to this big dream that is unattainable. And it really does work. I used it a lot last year because I really wanted to get a book deal for my book. And I did get a book deal, but I did a lot of scripting about that happening before it actually happened. So it puts you in that vibration. It's a little bit like the law of attraction, I guess. And if it is the right thing for you, I'm not saying you can magic things up, but if it is the right thing for you and you realize actually things are not as unattainable as you might think. And it's great fun. You're writing a little story about yourself. And sometimes I don't write in the first person. Sometimes I write, address myself in the second person as you, or sometimes I might write about myself in the third person, and that makes it a very interesting experience as well. So yeah, it's fun.
I think it really manifests that self-belief and that confidence, that absolute belief that being in that moment, and whether that's, you know, just that kind of mindful process of writing or drawing it, or actually that sort of almost physical feeling of being in it, I think is incredibly powerful.
It is. It really is. You can kind of taste it, can't you?
Yeah.
It feels like you're making a little bit of magic. And I mean, we could all do with a little bit of magic in a way.
Yeah, it just, it feels almost a little bit like a sort of imaginary world, but just brings that sense of joy and absolute belief that it's like you say, you can touch it, you know, you can almost feel it.
And I would say as well, as someone who's in post-menopause now and gone through the whole process of perimenopause and menopause, that my journaling has kind of become a stronger and stronger practice, and I get so much joy from it now at this stage of it really helps build your confidence and surety in yourself, you know. So it's so beneficial for your mental health.
And as we were saying earlier, you know, just through perimenopause, menopause, postmenopause, it can be wonderful for many women, and it can be a really creative process and really, you know, really help that creative process by journaling. But at the same time, if there's that sense of overwhelm or anxiety creeping in, or just not being very sure, those psychological symptoms, it can really, really help to process those as well.
Totally. I mean, if you do a word purge, it doesn't have to make sense. You can just have a rant on that page. If you need to have a rant.
Absolutely. And also, I think, you know, Caroline and I often talk, don't we, about the perimenopause and menopause being a positive experience, or trying to make it as positive as possible. And so, you know, incorporating that kind of positive aspect into journaling, as well as perhaps, you know, there might well be quite significant symptoms, it doesn't always have to be kind of this word purge or rant. It can be a very positive, I guess, word purge or rant, can't it? It can
absolutely be
the polar opposite of that.
I mean, even like, just if you're like feeling really low, just thinking of one affirmation, let's say, I am enough, just writing that down in your journal, I am enough because. And just, even if you can't think of something, just write it again, I am enough because, I'm enough because, and eventually the words will start coming. Words will start tumbling out. Yes, because, just something simple like that. And the other thing I would say as well, because I know, I mean, personally, I remember, and it doesn't happen to me anymore, but one of my symptoms of menopause was I would wake up at 5 a.m., heart racing, filled with anxiety. I didn't really know why. Couldn't go back to sleep. Get the journal, write in your journal, you know, and it doesn't really matter what you write, but you might find yourself actually enjoying the journaling early in the morning, maybe listening to the birds singing, writing about the light as it comes into your bedroom, just simple little things. And you've created something beautiful on your page. You've maybe written one beautiful word or an image or drawn something, you know, and rather than tossing into it and going, oh, I can't see, creating something out of that space.
So many women would perhaps grab a phone or get up and make a cup of tea, and actually using that symptom of often so many women do get, you know, wake up at four, yeah, or five in the morning, can't go back to sleep, and just using that time quietly can be incredibly creative, productive, and actually that little bit of self-care to start your day.
I love that idea, because I talk to so many women about insomnia or kind of waking up periodically through the night in the perimenopause. And so many women just toss and turn and lie awake, and some of them get up and they, like you say, Caroline, they make themselves a cup of tea. But actually what you're doing is you're activating, you know, your cortisol, you're activating all those stress hormones which keep you up more. So actually taking away the phone, taking away the light, taking away the caffeine, and just simply writing or simply drawing can activate those serotonin nerve responses and calm you. And it might be that you're angry or you're upset, but actually that's probably a far more useful use.
Yeah, you're released. You can release it on the page, and then, you know, and even then, maybe even reading through what you've written a little bit, or that might make you sleepy too.
Closing the journal, you know, physicality of closing something, yeah, it down and going, right, it's there, whatever's there I can deal with in the morning, or whatever's there I can sort of come back to and revisit and then maybe rework. It's almost sort of you know, documenting it and acknowledging it. I'm having a terrible night's sleep, this is crap, whatever, yeah, it is, and going, right, I've acknowledged it, which I think is so important, rather than just going, oh, it's just, I'm just going to brush it away for a minute and then get up and do whatever I need to do and then come back to bed and try and sleep.
It's the acknowledgement, actually, as you say, acknowledging and letting go, isn't it? It's a kind of combination.
Absolutely. And even like doing that journaling, then putting it, as you say, aside, and then closing the eyes, sitting there and just maybe doing a little breath, you know, and even if you haven't slept, the nurture of the breath, the nurture of the meditation, hopefully will make you feel a little bit less ragged as you go into the day, you know.
Something I wanted to ask you about, Noelle, was moon cycle journaling, because that's something I think you also lead and can guide, but it's something I haven't done before and would love to hear a bit more about that.
Yeah, I mean, that's, I love that, actually, because I mean, some of us are more affected by the cycles of the moon than other people, but it's just really simple. It's like kind of being aware of you know, what's going on with the moon at different times of the month and how that's affecting you. And just because you're not having periods anymore or not having regular periods anymore, it doesn't mean you're not affected by the moon cycle. It affects everyone. So, you know, at the time of the dark moon, that's a time when you might be thinking about releasing things and setting new intentions for the new moon. Then you know, the dark moon is a time of stillness. And then as the new moon begins to wax, then that's about setting intentions in place. And then looking at what sign the moon is in as well can affect, you know, whether it's in a fiery astrological sign or an earthy sign, that can affect what kind of intentions you might be setting as well, because the energy, and it will feel different, you know. And you know, when you say to a friend, oh, I felt this, I didn't sleep well, I had these weird dreams, and they're like, oh, so did I. That's, I think, connecting to moon cycles. And then you've got the full moon, which is a very potent time as well. We're all affected differently. Some of us are affected more by the full moon, some by the new moon more. But there is a great book, actually. I think the author's called Kirsty Gallagher, Lunar Cycle, and she has lots of journaling prompts in it. Okay. There's another lovely book that I gifted to a friend for Christmas, actually, by Nikki Strange, and that moon cycle journaling. It's beautiful as well. It's got lots of
I know that one, actually. That's a beautiful one as well, actually.
Yeah.
We'll take another break there and listen to some more messages from our sponsors.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
A cancer diagnosis can be scary and stressful for everyone involved. Hello Love is a contemporary living space and well-being center in central London where anyone can come and learn about illness prevention and non-toxic practice. Inside, you will find a vegan restaurant, juice bar, and holistic dojo that encourage lifestyle changes to help heal mind, body, and spirit connection. Cancer patients are offered free sessions. To find out more, please visit us at hellolove.org.
A for horses, B for mutton, C more cheeks, dig for victory. E bar gold.
UK Health Radio and Health Triangle magazine. Each is good by itself, but enjoying both is always better.
Marks and Spencer.
Add Health Triangle magazine to your monthly health regime. Check it out at ukhealthradio.com.
T for two.
UK Health Radio, the station that makes you feel good.
Welcome back. We're talking to Noelle on the Menopause Sisters show. And Noelle, we've not talked very much yet about your books as well. We've covered the different, you know, styles and types of journaling and your Rest and Rise platform, where you guide people to tap into their creativity. But actually, you've written quite a few novels. I confess I've only read one. It was The Island Girls, and I absolutely loved it. It had me hooked. I think I texted Noelle halfway through and was like, oh my gosh, this is amazing. But as with most of my things in my life, I sort of never quite get around to reading as much as I would like to. So have you got a recent book? I think there's a book coming out, or it's just launched.
Yes, I've had two other books since then, actually. The last book is called The Girl Across the Sea. And then the book before that was The Boatman's Wife. So they're both published under my own name by a publisher called Bookature. And yeah, you can get those in audio or Kindle or in print version. I love writing historical fiction, but my purpose is very much about writing women's stories, and not just stories of the wealthy and privileged, stories of those who've really had their voices kind of hidden in the past. So my latest book, The Girl Across the Sea, is set in two different time periods. In the 1920s and 30s in Ireland and America, and then in Ireland in the 80s. And the story is focused on a young woman in the early 30s in New York who is supposed to be traveling back to Ireland with her husband and little girl. And on the eve of the boat departing, she makes the decision to abandon her family because she just cannot go back to Ireland because there's a big dark secret that she can't reveal. So that's how the story begins. And she's the grandmother of a character in the 80s in Ireland who decides to find out what happened to her. And so we follow the journeys of both women who have gone through big challenges in their lives. So the book set in the 20s, the part of the book set in the 20s and 30s, also delves into periods of history that I'm really interested in, such as the Great Depression in America. She goes on a kind of road trip, this character Ellen, across America, but also the Civil War in Ireland, which hasn't really been written about much, which was a really tragic, violent period of history in Ireland, when literally families were torn apart, brothers against brothers. So that fascinated me. So that's those books. But I also have another book coming out next year under a different name, which is about witch trials, which is a slightly different genre. It's historical fiction, but with more magic realism sewn into it. So it's a little bit more, it's just slightly different style. And that's published under the name Anya Bergman and will be out in January 2023, published by Bonnier Sapphire. So really excited about that.
I'm quite excited about that one as well.
Amazing.
It's set in, it's based on true events on the island of Vardø in Norway. I lived in Norway for 7 years and I just got really obsessed into researching witch trials at that time in Norway. So I spent a lot of time researching it. I'm very passionate about the subject matter.
And you've touched on how journaling helps your creative writing process for your novels. And, you know, there are many people that, you know, sort of think, oh, I'd love to write a book, or I'd like to tap into that side of myself with the potential to write a book. And how would you suggest or recommend people get started, whether that is with a book in mind or just wanting to tap into their creativity again, if they feel they've kind of lost touch with it?
Well, I mean, it's quite simple. Write, you know, write with no, try not to put too much pressure on yourself. Just enjoy the process of writing. So a lot of us, when we start writing and we want to write a novel, we kind of want to run before we can walk. So we put very high demands on ourselves and expect us to immediately write beautifully. And I can promise you, no author, even prize-winning authors, their first draft is always a bit of a mess. And I think with experience as a writer, you realize that you have to kind of vomit out the first draft, which will be quite messy, before you can actually craft it. And I think a lot of times when people start writing, they expect it's going to be perfect. And I would just say, practice writing like any skill, like any craft, like any training. So I like to compare writing to running, bizarrely. So there's a wonderful book by what I talk about when I talk about running, and it's Murakami.
Brilliant.
Haruki Murakami, that's it. Anyway, sorry. but he's an amazing author, but also a long distance marathon runner. So he runs like 80 kilometer marathons, but he compares the process of writing a novel to running a marathon. And he says that, you know, you need the three skills you need: a focus, endurance, and talent. So it's not just, and talent he talks about is something that you can nurture yourself. Mm-hmm. So we all have a voice, okay? We all have expression and a voice. We all have stories to tell. So some of us might have had experiences in the past, usually when we were children, when either teachers or parents told us we couldn't write. And we've got it in our heads that creative writing is something to do with English grammar and school writing. It's got nothing to do with it. It's a completely different discipline. So we need to kind of deconstruct that to begin writing. And then if you want to write a novel, then to really, and this is where the yoga comes in, to really bring yourself into a place of deep focus. And that's where yoga can really help you, when you move your whole body through the practice of yoga, connect to your breath. You can help yourself drop into that stillness that helps you focus as a writer. And then endurance is to make sure you get to the end of that book. So yeah, so I've kind of gone into a lot of detail there. I just would say, if you want to write, if you've got stories to tell, enjoy the process of writing. Just start writing without any preconceived idea about having to be published. Just write for the joy of it, and then see what happens.
Thank you. Fantastic advice. And actually, for those who would just like to try journaling to process emotions, feelings, whatever is going on in their lives at the moment through perimenopause and menopause, they can all join you on Rest and Rise and try the free trial and just get your expertise and guidance this month of January.
Absolutely. We'd love to see anyone.
So if you'd like to find out a little bit more about Noelle, you can visit her website. It's noelleharrison.com. And the Rest and Rise platform is restandrise.co.uk. So at this point, we would just like to say thank you, Noelle. Thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
It's been fantastic to talk to you. And actually, just to explain a little bit more about journaling, because, you know, Claire was saying she's new to it, and I've fallen by the wayside a little bit with it. So it's inspired me to get my journal back out.
Get yourself a beautiful journal. That can help.
I think it's a wonderful idea, and I think actually it's such an easy tool, isn't it? We all have this ability. Yes. It's a book and a pen, or a book and a pencil, and, you know, see what happens.
And I do think it's different from typing on a laptop, you know, that connection between the hand and the heart, I guess.
Yeah, and as you say, get a lovely notebook. It does help. I'm a bit of a magpie, and if you have a nice notebook, or cover an old notebook even with some nice paper.
Oh, I love stationery.
There's definitely a sort of, that gives you a little bit of joy, then that's a great way to start as well.
Absolutely.
And Noelle, I nearly forgot, we've got one final question we like to invite our guests to answer, and that is, it's a question or a part of a play, The Vagina Monologues by Eve Ensler, that launched in the 90s. And she'd asked many different women what their vaginas would wear if they got dressed. So I would like to pose that question to you. What would your vagina be wearing?
Be wearing a red silky kimono in ecological materials.
I love that detail. That's brilliant.
Very good detail. I think when Caroline first asked me these questions, I was like, I want my vagina to be covered in gold and dripping in diamonds. And then everyone else that subsequently come on, I'm like, oh no, I quite like that idea. Quite like maybe gold and a kimono now, Caroline.
You reminded me of Goldfinger there, the film Goldfinger, with a covered on killed by being covered in gold paint, something like that.
That's a bit of a Bond theme already today.
Yeah, weird.
Brilliant. Thank you so much, Noelle Harrison.
You're welcome.